Blog Talk Radio.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
Cannot imagine.
Cannot imagine
the pain, the trial,
the pain, the trials I've had.
You don't know.
You don't know my story. You don't know the day he
came. I was at my lowest.
At my lowest.
I'm deliberate.
My soul.
Yeah.
My soul.
Just a favor of God upon me.
My God, my God, what a word, what a word, what a song, what a song. You don't know my story. That's the song you were listening to, titled Life in Favor by John P. Kidd. Truly, no one knows our story. No one knows what the end is going to be. Only God from Zion know our end at the very beginning. What a mighty, mighty, powerful song that is. Amen. Once again, we greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank God for allowing that song, and did not know when we chose it on yesterday to open up today, did not even know that, you know, we would have a testimony like that today. But truly, no one knows your story. We want to read into you here in this scripture, and it, I think it's very timely, especially with John P. Key singing that song, Life in Favor. And we want to read the scripture into your hearing today, and then we're going to go right on into what God would have us to do on today. And we're reading out of Ecclesiastic chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. It says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. My God, my God, my God. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, my God. A time to love and a time to hate. Ah, for everything there is a season, a time of war and a time of peace. Then this last verse asks the question, what profit had he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? So there's a time for everything. Life in favor is in God's hand. Oh, I bless the Lord today, and we thank you for tuning in once again to listen to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. Again, we're here Monday through Friday lifting up the name of Jesus. We're here to encourage, to inspire, to enrich, to enhance, to uplift, and to empower souls, to empower souls to pursue their destiny in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We are mandated to teach and preach this gospel, and we stand upon our foundational scripture, which is Ephesians 2 and 20. See, and we are built upon the prophets and the apostles. We're built upon them. And Jesus Christ being our chief cornerstone. Amen. We're just so happy. And truly, we thank God for all of your sweet fellowship. We thank God for all of our listeners. We thank God for those that go back into the archives and listen to these messages in their entirety. And we also thank those that come on the line and listen on the internet live, and those that come in on the chat room, and even our precious callers that call in every day. We thank God for you. Amen. We thank God for our co-host, Sister Ruby Larry. We just salute her and commend her for the wonderful job that she's doing co-hosting this broadcast. I tell you, I'm not there with her, but she's manning the switchboard, and she has done such an excellent job, and she's very prompt. Very prompt. Sister Ruby is going to be on time. So we just give her those accolades today and let her to know that we appreciate her. And I know that God certainly appreciates her, because anything that you do for the kingdom of God, God will certainly reward you for that. So once again, we're excited about today. We're going to continue on with our series. This is our second week in this series, talking about going through with purpose. We just read about the purpose. There's a time and a season. There's a purpose for everything. And we're excited to have with us today my brother. I call him, he's just like a brother to me. That's none other than Minister Michael Lewis of Jesus on High Productions. And I tell you, I've known this young man. I call him a young man. You know, sometimes you just say young. Yeah, that don't mean that you're 20 or 30. But, you know, he's still a young man. And I appreciate Brother Mike. I call him Brother Me. And he is just like a brother to me. He's been right there throughout these past few years, advocating on behalf of my sister, and he's been a great encourager of my family and also of the saints of the Most High God, and we just thank God for him. I know, you know, he's just in every family, we have our little things that we go through. You know, we have our highs and we have our lows, but at the end of the day, family is family. You know, whether we reconcile or not, they're still family. And sometimes you want to not forgive, and you want to not be the one to say, oh, well, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. And sometimes, you know, we allow this flesh to take over. But I thank God because, you know, as Brother Mike and I have experienced, you know, our different little things that we experience, because we all have to know that we are all uniquely made, and God didn't make none of us alike. He gave us the same senses. He gave us some of the same, most of us have all the same organs, but it's no two people alike, and that's what made God so unique when he made man and woman. So we just love Brother Mike. I thank God for him. And again, you know, I appreciate what he's doing for the kingdom of God. I appreciate what he's doing for, you know, on behalf of my sister as he continually tell her story. Sometimes I feel ashamed because I feel like somebody else has a voice and somebody else is telling my sister's story and I'm not telling it. But I've been there throughout this 20-year ordeal with my sister throughout the entirety of her sentence. And I just believe that the time is fastly approaching and God is going to release Danielle, and that is my prayer. So we're going to go right on into this series. I'm going to open up with the word of prayer, and then the next voice you'll hear will be Minister Michael Lewis. Amen. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you once again, God, just thanking you for being the glorious, for being the wonderful, for you being the almighty God that you are. God, we don't come to you today with any request of anything tangible. But Lord, we come to you today and we just want you to fill our cup up. Fill our cup up with love. Fill our cup up with compassion. Fill our cup up with grace and mercy and understanding. Lord God, and we asking you to continue to bless this nation as a whole. God, remember all those that are calling in today to listen to the word of God. Remember the speaker, Minister Mike, God. Lord God, anoint his lips to speak with thus say the Lord. God, strengthen him right now in the name of Jesus. He's gone through some things these past couple of months that many haven't gone through. He lost a sister, then he lost a mother. So, Lord God, I want you to anoint him today where he can speak a rhema word to your people today. And all of our listeners that's calling in today, God, we want each and every one of them to have an ear to hear what the Lord is saying, what he's saying in this hour, Lord God, where we can be strengthened, where we can know that anything that we're going through because you have a specific purpose designed just for us. Remember all of our radio listeners that's on the internet and go on the archives, Lord God. We're asking you to remember them in a special way. Remember our co-host, Sister Ruby Larry, Lord God. Oh, God, and remember Danielle this morning, God. Remember my son, Jamar, this morning, God. Continue to pray for our families as a whole, God. Oh, God, continue to let your blood cover us everywhere we go through the dangerous and wicked streets, Lord. Remember my grandchildren today, my great-grandchildren. Remember all those that are making sacrifices today, God, because truly no one knows our story but you, Lord God. Nobody knows the pain that we go through. Nobody knows how we suffer in this flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Nobody knows in the wee hours when we don't have anyone to call on, Lord God. We can call on you. We can call on you because you said you would never turn us away. You said a broken heart and a contrite spirit, you would in no wise turn us away, Lord God. Oh, we're looking to you, Lord God, for you are our helper. You are our defense, God. You are our deliverer. You are our way maker. You are our provider, Lord God, and we look to you for it all, Jesus. We thank you for this series that we have been talking about for the past 2 weeks, God, and we pray that someone is strengthened today. We pray that souls will be uplifted today to know that they don't need to just quote, I can do all things, but they need to know unequivocally that they can do all things, God, as long as we keep you at the forefront of our life, as long as we make you our priority, as long as we have you as the head of our life, God. Oh, we give you glory and we give you praise, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, hallelujah. We want at this time to not take any more time, but we want to bring to you a man of God that loved the Lord, a man of God that loved God's people, a man of God that's not afraid and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's none other than Minister Michael Lewis of Jesus on High Productions of Stockton, California. God bless you, Brother Mike. We appreciate you so very, very much. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Thank praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to just sing a portion of this song that God has laid on my heart. And it goes,
thank you. Time is winding. Time is winding up. Time is winding. Time is winding up. Old destruction in the land. God's gonna move his hand. Oh, time is winding up. Your time, my time, time is winding up. Your time, my time, time is winding up. Old destruction in the land. God's gonna move his hand. Oh, time is winding up. Run, sinner, run. Time is winding up. Run, sinner, run. Time is winding up. Oh, destruction in the land. God's gonna move his hand. Oh, time is winding up.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Truly, that is a true
song, Time Is Certainly Winding Up. Ever since this, there are things that are going on in the earth that people don't understand. But ever since day one, God had a purpose. And the title of this, as I was instructed, is Going Through with Purpose. Well, in the beginning, it says that God created the heavens and the earth. And no one sat with God to take counsel of him, to ask him why he wants to create a heaven and earth. But he counsels his own will and thought it upon himself that he purposed within himself. Yeah, we talking about going through with purpose. And as God began to go through the motions of speaking and spoke to the elements and told them, let there be light, and light suddenly appeared. And we know the story of the creation till it came to 6 days. And after 6 days, he rested after creating man and woman. And he placed man and woman in the midst of the garden. He had a purpose for them being there. He told them what? To be fruitful and to multiply. But in Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, let us make man, what, in our image and in our likeness. And the reason being, because of the purpose that he purposed in himself, was to let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over everything on the earth. That was the purpose that God was driven in creating man, for man to have dominion over this earth. But there was a pause that took place up in the heavens. The angel sat back and looked at everything God created, and he placed it in the hands of a mere man, and they said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you, God, you go down and you visit him? Why? God had a purpose. He was driven by a purpose to have his creation to love him, serve him, worship him, honor him, to give in the earth realm his name the glory that is due. Oh, yeah, he said, if you don't cry out, he said, the rocks will. Well, that was something that took place in the garden where God placed man in the midst of. He gave him a commandment and said, look here, Adam, out of every tree that is in the garden, that one that sits in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat thereof. There was a purpose in God telling Adam that he should not eat. He said, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. But you know the story. Here comes Lucifer, comes down, and he's walking on legs instead of crawling on his belly at this time, and he says that Sister Eve said, Eve, look here. Did not God say, out of all these trees that's in the garden, you can freely eat? But this one that's in the, he say, look here, there's nothing wrong. Look at it. It's desirable. It looks good to the eye. And guess what? If you bite on it, it's going to taste good to the flesh. But God knows that the day that you eat, Eve, you're not going to die. You're going to become wise as God. Yeah, that was a purpose in God telling Adam not to eat of the tree. Well, because of Adam's purpose to be disobedient, something happened. It says the woman did eat, and she turned. She didn't go walking on the other side of the garden, but she turned. She didn't holler from a distance and say, baby, come here, but she turned to Brother Adam, who was standing right there. And she gave unto him, and he bit. You see, notice, when Eve bit, nothing happened, because the commandment was not straightly given to her. It was given to her indirectly through him by God. But the commandment was totally, solely, purposely given to Brother Adam. And as soon as Adam bit, the word declared that both of their eyes became open. But look what Brother Adam did. Instead of taking ownership for his purpose, and he just committed a sin against God by being disobedient,
Yeah. All of a sudden, he was going through with a different purpose in the mindset. He shifted the blame and said, hold on, God, what you hollering, man? It's the woman you gave me. She the one who called me to eat. And the woman immediately in turn said, wait, God, back up, don't blame me. It was the servant. Yeah, they was opened by a purpose. Yes, but what purpose was there driven by? It wasn't a God-given purpose, no, because they had allowed something to take place that had never happened with man, disobedience. So they were going through with purpose, but their purpose was not the purpose that was purpose in God from the beginning of creation, which he purposed in every man to be of obedience unto him. Now, let's just slow down just a little bit. I looked up in the Bible concordance purpose because Webster tends to go off into a little different area, but I liked what it says coming from the Greek. Purpose in the Greek means to urge forward, to persuade or pursue. I like that because if you understand what purpose is that God purposed in you, you can't sit still. You can't stand still. You have this urge that is down in you, which they call purpose driven. Now you're driven because of what's purpose down in you to go forward. Well, that's what happened with Adam and Eve. They was driven to go forward in sin. Mm. But again, God was driven by a purpose from the beginning. He already knew that man was going to fall, so he already started his purpose to redeem man back to himself by sending his son. But let's pump the brakes just a little, and let's read of some stories. Well, there's a story. That was the first one. Then there comes Brother Noah. Brother Noah would tell you about going through with a purpose because God had purpose in Brother Noah to build an ark. Why? Because it was going to rain, something that was unknown to man about hearing about some rain because it had never rained on the earth before. But God had got so upset with man that he said he's going to destroy this. Mm. But there was a man that was on earth, that was walking on the earth, going through with a purpose. He was an upright man, a preacher. His name was Noah. And God found favor in the eyesight of this preacher, Brother Noah. And because of that, God put in him a purpose to build him an ark. The reason the building of the ark was for the saving of the 8 souls that would enter in because of man's disobedience. The Bible tells us that man became so corrupt and vile in his thinking and in his ways that he left the natural affection of a woman and began to burn in his heart toward a man. Yeah, what's going on in America right now? It's nothing new. Them passing laws to get married, male with male and female with female, that's not new. The Bible declared as it was in the days of Noah.
Yes.
Oh, since the end be. Yes, we're going through with a purpose because God had a desire that in the end, those that call his name, know his name, believe on his name, confess his name, walk in his name, live in his name, we'll make it to the heavens, the place that he purposed in man when he created him. Now, Noah, after finding favor with God, he stepped off the scene, and Brother Ezra that came on, and in the 4th chapter, he talked about the purpose of the children of Israel, that when they went into captivity, their purpose was to rebuild the temple. Well, let's go back. We got to understand this thing called a temple. In 1 Kings 5th chapter, 1 Kings the 5th chapter, let me turn that, and we're going to begin at the 5th verse. And this talks about King Solomon, the son of Brother David, that had a desire to build a house unto the Lord. It was the purpose of David in his heart, because David loved God with all his heart, and David was driven by purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord our God. Why? Because at this time, God had no set building. He was always pitched in a tent, and he was carried from destination to destination. And King David saw this till he was driven with a purpose within himself to build a house unto his God. Yeah, David said, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I and we will remember of the name of the Lord our God. Why? Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. David desired a house for the people of God that they would not be removed no more. But unfortunately, see, that was another purpose that was in David. You know, David saw one day while his men was at war, he went out on the balcony and across the ways he saw a beautiful woman, and she was bathing on the rooftop. And while she was engaged in doing what she do, yeah, that was a purpose that popped up in Brother David called lust. Yeah, you can be driven by lust. And that's what David was. All of a sudden, he was going through with purpose, but it was the wrong purpose. It was lust. So because of his lust for this woman that was married to a man that was in the battle, that was fighting, David said, okay, I got to do something about this. I want her. So he sent for her, and she came, as any good citizenship of kingdom would do, because if not, you could have your head lifted or your whole family. And she didn't want that. So she came unto the king, and she did whatsoever the king wanted her to do. But there was a problem. She was still married. And because she was married, David said, well, send for this woman's husband that I might meet him, because I have a purpose in my heart for him. I want him to come home, and I want to get drunk with him so I can have him go home to sleep with his wife. Why? Because now she's carrying a baby in her stomach. And that don't look good because her husband is out at war. But Uriah, being so nice and kind and loving the Lord and David, King David, to fight, he said, no, I cannot go home to my wife while my men are out at battle, so therefore I'm going to lay right here at your doorstep. So David didn't like that. He got him drunk again and tried to persuade him, and he wouldn't do it again. So David became irate with purpose. Yeah, going through with purpose. David had a purpose. He said, look here, I'm not going to let this man stop me from not performing the purpose that I didn't purpose in my heart, not with God's purpose in him, but what he has allowed Satan to purpose in him. So he sent a letter with this soldier to go to the front of the hottest battle, and while he's out there fighting, the rest of the troops are to retreat. And in retreating, Uriah was killed, and God did not take pleasure and Uriah getting killed. So he had the prophet come in and tell David a story. He said, David, that was a man that took a ewe lamb from another man, and that was not right. And he said, what do you think I should do for this man taken from this other man who needed it for his family? David said he ought to be put to death. And the prophet said, David, you are that man.
You are that man.
David was upright standing to kill somebody else, but when he realized that the prophet was prophesying upon him, immediately David conferred not with flesh and blood, but he went and laid down at the altar and began to cry out to God and ask him his forgiveness. And that's where the 53rd Psalm is written. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness and the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out all my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly with your hyssop. Make me whiter, whiter than snow. Why? Because against thee, in thee alone, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. But see, God did not forget David, who was made to go after the heart of God. David knew how to talk to get back into the good graces of God, but nevertheless, he was not afforded the opportunity to do what he purposed in his heart, which was a good thing before God. Why? Because he had innocent blood on his hand. So God made a promise to David. He said, David, because it was in your heart, that was a good thing, and I'm going to bless you just because it was in your heart. But I can't allow you to do this because of the innocent blood that you have shed. But I'm going to establish your son, Solomon, to sit on the throne, and he's not going to have no evil occurrence around him whatsoever. He's not even going to have no war. He's going to have peace all his days, and from that, I'm going to allow him to build a temple unto my name. So this is where we find the story takes place now in the book of 1 Kings, the 5th chapter, and it says, the 5th verse, and behold, Solomon, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. Here it is, Solomon immediately began to put the plan of action that God purposed in David. Now here it is, Solomon is picking up the purpose that was driven by David, and God has now manifested it into Solomon's heart. That's right. So Solomon begins a quest, and this brother decks out the house of God. Look, the money that he spent on the house of God back then were in the millions of dollars. It is easily to be estimated today at least over $100 million to even $1.1 billion worth of substance. Why? He had pillars that were hewed out of straight pearl, nothing but pearl. He had a floor that was overlaid with nothing but gold. He used the best of all kind of wood, every main tree that was expensive. This boy spared no expense, even upon the offering of the sacrifices that he gave unto God. It was just in number 100,000 sheep alone. We're not talking about the oxen, the cattle, the turtle doves, and so on and so on. They said he offered so much sacrifice unto God until today it has never been numbered. Why? Brother Solomon was going through with a purpose, and he spared no expense at the purpose that God purposed in him. So I'm asking you today, what is your God-driven purpose? And God has purposed in you to go mad after, to go hard after, to go after. You know, people say to go dumb after. Yeah, they got a saying, going dumb. I went dumb in the club last night. Like, wow. What sense do that make? Going dumb. But it happens. But nevertheless, going back to the story, we find out that after Solomon had done all these things, he left a good word in the book of Proverbs, the 20th chapter. Now notice what the wise man has to say in the book of Proverbs, the 20th chapter, in verse number 18. And it reads, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice they make war. And then over in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, now remember he said every purpose is established by counsel. Every purpose is established by counsel. Now Proverbs 24:6 says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. But look here. In the book of Ephesians, the 1st chapter, in verse number 11, it talks about counsel. But this particular counsel is of oneself. And it reads, Ephesians, the first chapter, verse number 11.
Oh, no, I got the wrong one. I'm sorry. That's the Philippians. I'm sorry. Ephesians 1 and 11.
It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Talking about in the multitude of counselors, there's safety, but here we find the chief counselor who counsels his own self. He don't go out and ask man, is it okay for him to save man? He didn't ask man, was it all right for him to put his son's life on the line? No, he counseled within himself, and yeah, it's all right. Why? Because we're going through with a purpose, and when Jesus Christ got word up in heaven that man needed a savior, that he took his robe and stepped out of glory and came down 40 and two generations to come through the annal of a woman called Mary. And Mary was given charge by the angel saying, thou shalt bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Why? He's going to be the savior of his people. Well, Jesus did not confer with flesh and blood concerning these directions, but he was obedient, the Bible said, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Yeah, as he walked on the earth, yeah, he was driven by purpose that God had commanded within him to go and do these things. Yes, and he gave commandment to man as he chose the 12. He said, yeah, I chose you 12, but even one of you, you're a devil. Yeah, going through with purpose. And as Jesus began to go through the earth and do all manner of good, not evil, yet man felt in his heart a purpose to lie upon him. Here it is, a person that has never done wrong, said anything idle, never hurted a fly. And yet man found purpose in his heart because it was purposed by God. Yeah, it was purposed by God, and the proof is he says in the book of Romans that he raised up Pharaoh. Uh-huh. He made Pharaoh for the day that he was born. He raised him up to be who he was so that God said, I might get the glory, and that my name will spread throughout the earth. You know, there's people still talking about that story today, how Moses went to Pharaoh and commanded Pharaoh that God said, let my people go, and they walked across. But now they're trying to say they didn't walk across the Red Sea. They came up with a new name called the Reed Sea. Well, I'm going to believe what the Bible says. Now, you can believe all those skepticals if you want to. One thing about the Word of God, it don't need no additives, preservatives, because it's preserved all by itself. He don't need no help. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He say, add thou not unto my word, lest you be reproved and you be found a liar. Then he tells you, don't take away from it, because if you take away, he say, guess what's going on? I'm going to take your name out of the Lamb's book of life and out of the holy city. So there's no help from you. That's when you add into his word. But what he did, he purposed in Jesus Christ to come down, to walk and live amongst man, to do all manner of good, raise folks from the dead, heal the sick. He opened up blinded eyes. He caused limbs to grow back. He done all these good things. And yet, one night while he was at Simon's the leper's house, yeah, having what they call today the Last Supper, while he was sitting there, he took bread and he broke it, and he told them, hey, look, y'all, this is my body that's going to be broken for you. Yeah, what I want you to do is take a piece of this and you eat it, and as often as you do this, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection. Then he took a cup, and what was in the cup, he sipped out of it, and he passed it around, and he said, this is my blood. that was said for you for the remission of your sins. And as often as ye drink this blood and eat my flesh, you show forth my death, my burial and resurrection. You do this until I come. That was a purpose for him eating bread night. And as he sat and broke bread, well, that was a one that sat in the midst of them that Jesus said, look, this night I'm going to be betrayed by one of you that's sitting amongst us, the very one that dips his hand with me. It is he that's going to turn me in. And everybody began to be inquisitive to find out, was it purpose in them to turn him in? And Brother Judas sneakily came up and said, is it I? And he said, thou hast said, now go on out there and do what you're going to do. Well, that was a purpose that was in Brother Judas. Yeah, he was going through with a purpose. Yet this man walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He communed with Jesus. He fellowshiped with Jesus. He slept with Jesus. He wined and dined with Jesus. He went through places with Jesus. And yet he was the one that God had put a purpose in him to turn Jesus in. And the amazing thing was that before he ran out to go turn Jesus in, they were quarreling amongst themselves in Simon the leper's house because Mary and Martha was there, and a young lady having an alabaster box opened it and broke it and began to anoint his feet, and Judas, the money keeper, began to get upset about the thing that she had done. And so did the disciples speak ill against it. But Jesus said, hold up, pump your brakes, back up, because this woman has purposed a good thing. She's showing y'all that I'm getting ready to get out of here. She ain't worried about sitting down, cleaning up the dishes, and straightening up the house. She's sitting at my feet because she realized in a minute I will no longer be here because my purpose that God has called me to do, I'm going to have to go through with it to the very end, going through with the purpose. Well, after Judas gets up, he runs out and go gets the 30 pieces of silver. And the problem was when the people came back to take Jesus, they were perplexed, confused. They could not figure out, well, which one is Jesus? Why? Because they sounded alike. See, one thing about hanging around somebody for a little while, association brings on assimilation, and assimilation, a similarity, and that brings about a change. Yeah, you hang around the church long enough, your walk will change and your talk will change. You'll no longer do the things that the world do. You begin to mimic. Notice what I said. Mimic. Not limit, you begin to mimic. And that's what Brother Judas was doing, mimicking how to be a child of God. But his heart was never there because the purpose that God had purposed in him from the moment he was born was to turn in our Lord and our Savior. So he said, look here, since y'all not going to be able to recognize him because everybody sounded like, everybody looked like, I'm going to go give him a kiss. And the person that I kiss, that's the one you grab. So they did. He walks up and kisses Jesus, and sure enough, they snatch him and they take him. But look here, Jesus could have fought. Brother Peter pulls out the sword and cuts off one of their ears. And while all this charade was going on, Jesus picked up the man's ear, the centurion, and he puts it back on. That should have told them right then, hey, back up. We need to stop this charade. Why? If this man has the power to take an ear that has been lacerated and cut completely off and stick it back on a man's head where it is back functioning, I don't need to mess with this man. But see, when you have a purpose in you that ain't driven by God, when you have a purpose from that other fella, I don't care how much you come across the house of God, you cannot find yourself bowing down to the people of God nor the things of God, because you're going through with a purpose on the opposite side of God. Yes, God has a purpose either to the good, baby, or he has a purpose that you're going to go through to the bad. But one way or the other, God is going to get the glory out of your purpose. Yeah, we're talking about going through with a purpose. I'm almost done, y'all. Now, winding down.
It's going good.
It said after Jesus put the man's ear back on, he allowed the centurions and those that captured him to take him from judgment hall to judgment hall to beat him. Yeah, they mocked him, slapped him. But see, you know, the Europeans painted a picture of Jesus, and a lot of folk have this particular painting in their homes today. It's a white Jesus with blue eyes and long blonde hair. I'm not prejudiced, and I'm not saying this to be derogatory. I'm just painting a picture for you that you get this in your head. They paint this picture of a pretty looking guy, and he has long hair and his eyes look real good, and put the picture up there in recognition of Jesus, Yeshua, the one that's called the Christ. Or you might be one of those that didn't like the European-looking Jesus, so you went out and bought that Jesus that is dark, or black. And he has a little short afro, and so do the 11 hanging around him at the table. Yeah, you might have liked it, that one, but he looks good with his afro, not a curl hanging out of place, and his beard is well-groomed, and so is the other one sitting around him, the 12. Yeah, or you might be one of those that didn't like neither one of those choices because you got that long hair. Yeah, when I say brothers, the long hair, I'm talking about them dreads. You might got that Jesus that have handcuffs on, that he breaks the chains, and his hair is hanging down by his waist, them dreads looking real good, and his muscles is flexed and formed, and that chest cavity is sticking way out there, and he don't have a shirt on, and it's appealing unto the eye. You might have one of them Jesuses hanging around your house. Well, I got bad news for you. Neither one of them will suffice. Why? Because the Bible tells me, according to Isaiah's account, in the 53rd chapter, that our Lord and our Savior was wounded for our transgressions. Mm-hmm. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace, it was upon him. And with every one of his stripes, baby, we were healed. But it didn't stay there. He said he was stricken and smitten of God, afflicted. Oh, yeah, go back and read the right account. This the Jesus you need to hang up on your mantle, baby. Yeah, the one whose face had been disfigured with all kind of lumps and knots placed upon side his head. Yeah, and when they shoved the thorns around his head, them wasn't no ordinary thorns, brothers and sisters. No, no. See, I like giving out roses every now and then. And when I go get a rose, I make sure that I'm careful and cautious not to get pricked by the little thorns that are on the side of them roses, or you have somebody to cut them and strip them. Well, unfortunately for Jesus, there was none of us there that could groom the thorns that were shoved down upon his head. He had them long thorns. Yeah, see, them brothers didn't use their hands to shove it down on top of his head. They had sticks, and they began to push down with the sticks where them thorns began to grip inside of his cranium. And as them thorns tore into the cranium, blood began to ooze down his face. But it didn't stop there. That was just the beginning. And as he began to be led to another judgment hall, they put blindfold on him, began to slap him. And they said, prophesy now, who slapped you? Every one of the centurions had a turn in slapping him. And they didn't stop there. No, they began to loogie him. Yeah. All on his face and everywhere on his body. Now, had that been Brother Mike, I'm telling you right then, I would have gave up the ghost and destroyed every last one, but God didn't call Brother Mike.
All right.
His only begotten son, somebody that can endure the loogies, baby. Yeah, somebody that can endure the spit, baby. Somebody that can endure them thorns on top of their heads.
My God.
He chose the white man. Yeah, but it didn't stop there. And then they took him to another hall. And in this hall, they said, wait a minute. Did not they give you the title king? Yeah, he's talking about going through with a purpose. They said, did not they call you the King of Kings? Did not they say that you were their Lord of Lords? Well, everybody know a king has to have his own scepter. Not only do a king need a scepter and a crown, the king must wear a robe. In mocking him, they made a robe and tied around him. Then they took it back off to tie him up unto a post. Now here it is where our Lord and our Savior dug deep down within and cried unto your Father in mine. Oh, yeah. Here it is. It's where he had to get the purpose that was deep down buried within him, not to call the legions of angels to come and destroy man off the face of the earth, but he remained humbled. Humbled unto death, he endured every strife. Slow down, Mike. He endured every strife. I'm told that the centurions, they learned the craft from the Carthians. The Carthians perfected what was called scourging. The Carthians did it that when the Romans saw it, it pleased them. They put scourging on a whole other level. They began to make and create a thing called a cat of nine tails. Well, a cat of nine tails has seven strands of string on them. At the end of every string is a shard. A shard is a shard metal, and it has seven shards. This cat of nine tails, that when a centurion began to swing, those shards landed in the flesh of our Christ, and upon retraction, flesh was ripped apart. Yes, baby, he endured 40 stripes. 40 stripes times 7 is 280 pieces of his flesh that was ripped off his back. They don't talk about the sweats that went down upon his legs. But that was one when the centurion hit his back, it ripped, and I was told it hit a main artery. And when it hit this artery, called the capillary, it tore open a main vein. And from that main vein, blood began to gush out. The centurion stopped there. And the only reason he stopped, because it wasn't his commandment to kill Jesus, only to crucify. To scourge him. So when they seen the blood oozing, they immediately tied the robe around him and gave him the post to begin to carry. But before they even began to carry it down to go to the hill, he was brought before Pontius Pilate one more time. And he asked them, what do we do with this man called Jesus?
My God.
The crowd. The crowd that was supposed to be his were chosen of him by God. He said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. These were the religious rulers of that day, the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priests. These were those that supposed to know the law, understood the law, taught the law, live by the law, and yet he that gave law, you're turning your back against them. Why? Because they said with their purpose-driven life, they said, give us Barabbas. Crucify this Jesus. Give us Barabbas. In other words,
Barabbas. Hallelujah.
The Bible declared the wages of sin, baby, it is death. But the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our righteousness. And as I begin going to my close, there's a couple of more scriptures I just want to magnify. Our brother Paul, when he came upon the scene, that he talks about in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 28th verse, he says, all things, they work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Going through with purpose today, finding out what is the purpose that God purposed for you. There are people that's born with a purpose. They think their purpose is to be the next Michael Jordan. They think their purpose is to be the next Michael Jackson. Some people's purpose is to own houses and land, and they're driven by it. Their work is their purpose. There are people that have purpose within themselves. They want to attain the highest and degree known to man, that when you say their name, they have all these letters either before them or they come after them. There are people that are purpose driven to own the prettiest car. There are men that are purpose to be pimps and players, not purpose to be the sons of God. There are women that are purpose to be nothing but a prostitute. There are people whose purposes don't match the purpose of God. But here Brother Paul says, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The problem in the church today, we don't know our purpose. The purpose that God purpose in every man. Jesus said it best when he talked to his disciples. He said, by this all men shall know my purpose from coming into the earth, living in the land. All men gonna know the purpose I purpose when I hung on the cross. All men gonna know the purpose I given you when I went down the earth. All men gonna know the purpose that our purpose is that you have love one to another. The problem in the church today, we got love, but it ain't one to another. The love we have is for one another. As long as I got love for you, I never gotta give it to you. But the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Going through with a purpose. With Brother Paul, he comes on the scene and he tells you that I was one of those that were born out of due season. I have on record how I persecuted the church, and I did it with my whole heart. I was going through with a purpose to kill everybody that called on the name of Yahshua, because I knew him now, my God. And one day, as I went down this road called Damascus, there was a light that shined bright above the noonday sun, and it knocked me off of my beast, and I conferred not with flesh and blood. But I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, it is I, Jesus Christ. It's hard for you to kick against the prick. You go down to the streetcar street, and in 3 days, I'm going to anoint you. Your eyes will be open. You shall preach my word. Praise the Lord. For the Paul will tell you, neither was I taught by a man, neither learned I this of man. But my revelation, it comes straight from God. He said, I went not to Jerusalem to hang with Peter, nor the rest of the apostles. But for 3 years, I went into Arabia to get my instruction from God. I'm going through. But I got a purpose. God has purpose to preach His word. God has purpose in me to be an example to the believer in word, in faith, in study, in conversation, in all that I do. Brother Paul said, whatsoever that you do, be it word or deed, do all. All in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If you ask Paul today, did he go through what was his purpose? He said, I have fought a good fight. Great God, on today, like Brother Paul, I fought a good fight. The church is too busy fighting against one another. The church is too busy. We backbiting. The church is too busy lying on one another. The church is too busy doing everything but the purpose of God. Glory to the name God. Glory to your name, God. And in closing, Brother Paul left it on record. He left it on record. He said, whosoever will, they can come. In the book of Timothy, it tells about the purpose of God and His grace, which was given in us by Christ Jesus, way before the whole world ever begun. If you come to know what your purpose, you got to be in Christ Jesus. If you're going to go through purpose, you got to be established in the faith. You know, when I received this message, I didn't know which way I was going to go, but I let God have His way. In the last scripture I will read, it comes from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in verse number 15. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in the 15th verse says, but let none of you suffer or go through. He's talking about going through with a purpose. He's saying here, don't none of you go through as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matter. He's saying don't go through as a liar. He's saying don't go through purpose as a thief. He's saying don't go through life as a whoremonger, but let none of you suffer. He says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let us not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on his behalf. Why? The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. It must begin at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, now the ungodly and the sinner going to appear. Wherefore let them suffer according to the purpose that God purposed in you to commit the keep of your soul to God in well doing as unto a faithful creator. Going to go through with purpose. You got to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got to let Him in your life. You got to take on the baptism in Jesus' name. You got to take on the rebirth. In closing, I thank God for Adrian. and her family, especially my friend Danielle. I thank God because of her, the purpose that God has given me is on working on this girl's case. And in doing so, I'm driven with purpose every morning that I wake up. I acknowledge God for giving me the strength to wake up once again. I give him all glory and the accolades that is due to his name. He knows that after coming out of prayer, my next focus is on what do I do for Danielle for this day. In working for Danielle, it has kept me out of prison. It has kept me out of hospitals. It has kept me out of the psychiatric ward. It has kept me off of drugs. Me focusing my purpose driven through God. I go through with purpose. Going through with a purpose. My purpose in life is to manifest the love of God to every man. Whether you like me or love me, it don't matter. It's not how you feel about me is how I feel about you. And God said, if you have an altar, or you think you have an altar, or if you remember you got a problem with your brother or sister, he says, leave your gift at the altar. Quit crying to me. Quit praying to me. Quit fasting unto me. Quit shouting and dancing and praising. Leave your gift at the altar and go reconcile to your brother and with your sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is finished. Going through with a purpose. Praise the Lord. Sister Adrian, back in your hands.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Woo! That's a timely word. If I didn't receive nothing out of this message, one thing I received. When he opened up, he sung a song. Time is winding up. I didn't receive anything else. Hallelujah. I received that. Time is winding up. And when he went to that last scripture, hallelujah, that last scripture in 1 Peter,
oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, praise the Lord. Evangelist Bernard dropped off a minute. I'm, excuse me, sure she'd be back on. This is Sister Ruby on the switchboard. So did you want to say anything else, Minister Mike, before she come back on? Because she dropped off. She probably come trying to get back on.
Are there any callers? You could check with the callers if we have any.
Okay, that'll be fine. Yeah, we have quite a few. Minister Billy Burns.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Go for it.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just blessed by your message, Brother Mike, living on purpose, and it was an awesome message, but I stayed on, I didn't usually say anything when I listen in, I just want to get the word and, you know, just salivate on it and get it into my spirit, but I wanted to let everyone know who is not a Facebook friend that on Saturday on They Overcame, we will have Pastor Linda Jernigan, and she is an ex-lesbian that had a family and everything, and the Lord saved her, and now she is preaching the gospel, a powerful, powerful woman of God, and If you have any relatives or if you know anyone that can benefit from hearing the delivering power of God to deliver from something that seemingly the world is saying, and even the community, the homosexual community is saying that no deliverance is there for that. Pastor Jernigan is a living witness that God will deliver you from homosexuality and cause you to live on purpose for him, and that's what she's doing. So, amen, I just wanted to make that announcement.
Oh, praise the Lord, Minister Billy. And she's on tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., I mean Saturday morning, 5 a.m. our time. And our broadcast is They Overcame. It's out of the book of Revelation. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Sister Albertine? Sister Albertine, praise the Lord. Okay, maybe her line is mute. Let me go here. Okay, Sister Barbara Williams.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. We hear you. Your line is open.
Oh, yes. I'm just glad to be able to come on today to listen in. And I came on late, but maybe I'll get a chance to hear some of it when she gets back online.
Okay, that was Minister Michael Lewis brought the word. They overcame.
Oh.
He went from Genesis to almost Revelation. He went from the old to the new, and it's a blessing to hear that word.
Oh.
But we're so blessed to have Sister Williams on the line. She has been having problems with her hearing in different points and been off the line for a couple of months. So we thank the Lord that he's healing and blessing Sister Barbara.
Yes, thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Okay, then God bless you. We're so happy
Thank
to see you.
You
on the line.
Thank you. You too.
Sister Cammy?
Yes, praise God. How you doing?
Oh, bless yourself. Your line is open.
Yeah, I just want to say I really enjoyed that. I'm going to go back in the archive. I came in a little late, but I did catch the word, and I was blessed by it. What a powerful word. I want to say thank you to the minister. Thank you for the minister of the day. Thank you to Evangelist Bernard and you, Sister Ruby, and I thank you guys for continuing to keep me in prayer, and God has been really opening doors for me. So all the things I went through, I know I wasn't going through it in vain, and I am walking through, walking with my purpose. So I am so grateful to everything. So thank you guys again. I appreciate it.
We thank you, Sister Kimmy, for being on all the time. Evangelist Bernard, you back up?
Yes, I'm back up. I don't know. I guess the line cut off, but that's okay. God bless you all. You can continue on opening up the line. God bless you.
Well, we opened it all. The only one I have to go to is Sister Albertine. I'm going to go back to her again, and then I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you.
God bless you.
How are you? God bless Pastor. I'm sorry. Pastor Michael Lewis, God bless you. That was powerful. Also, Adrian Bernard, God bless you. Sister Ruby, I caught the end of it, but I'm going to go back in the archives. And the part that I caught was very powerful. And I just thank God for that word today. And it just keeps reiterating of going through with purpose. And God has just really been dealing with me on some things, and I've just been seeking his face and staying in study. And thank you so much for that word today. It was very powerful. God bless you.
Bless you. Evangelist Bernard, Sister Williams came on the line. Her line is open a minute. She's still on. So I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Okay. Sister Williams, is that Sister Barbara?
Sister Barbara, you've been off for a couple.
God bless you, Sister Barbara. So good to see you.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, too, Evangelist Bernard.
Yes. Were you able to hear the message?
No, I came in a little late.
Okay. Well, go back into the archives and listen. I tell you, to bless your soul. We just so thankful to see you on today, and we want you all to continue to pray Evangelist Phillips there to assist on yesterday. So continue to pray for Evangelist Sharon Phillips and continue to pray for us as a whole. I'm going to ask for some remarks from Sister Ruby, and then we're going to go back to our speaker. I tell you, Brother Mike, that was a powerful word today, and I knew that was not you. That was all God. Amen. So, Sister Ruby.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. It was just a blessing, like I said. I think I commented, you were off, that Minister Mike went from Revelation all the way to the New Testament. So he covered the whole book. He didn't go to Revelation, but he went on to talk about that seed, Minister Mike, and it was just a blessing. And you stirred up a lot of different points about how God and Jesus came down on this earth to save his people and bring them back into a relationship. So God bless you, and turn it back over to you, Evangelist Bernard.
Amen, amen. We're going to give it back to Minister Mike, and I tell you, I'm just so full. I tell you this word. Oh, God, if you haven't eaten anything and you are spiritually and naturally at a point where you just need something, I tell you, God always give us a word. And I just bless the Lord for just being able to have an ear, because the Bible tells us to not just be doers of, not just be hearers of the word, but we have to put this word into practice. We have to make it applicable to our lives. Hearing and not acting upon it is just like James say, faith without works. I don't care how much faith we have, Sister Barbara, Sister Albertine, Sister Cammy with us today. If we don't ever exercise and really try and test that faith, then guess what? We'll never know what God can do. So we have to have the faith, and we have to produce some work. So we have to be diligent about what God has given us to do. Truly, we all are going through something, but we need to know that we're going through with a purpose. We have purpose in our heart, purpose in our mind, purpose in our walk. So that, therefore, we have to stay focused. If it ever was a time, we're living in a critical time, we're living in perilous times, and we can't take our eyes off of Jesus. We can't take our eyes off this world, off this word, because the Bible also say there was going to be rumors of wars, and there's going to be all kinds of rumors. But he said the end is not yet. So when they say come here and come there, don't you move. Don't you be taken by the Antichrist, because he has already set up. The mark of the beast is already in session, like Brother Mike said, Minister Mike said. So we better be careful. We better stay with our armor on. We better have our full armor on. Don't leave your house without your armor on. And even while you're in your house, even while you're in the sanctity of your house, you have to be armed. Hallelujah, because the devil coming to penetrate any way he can, and all he looks for is an opening. Amen. And he's going to, that's how these spirits come in. Spirits can't come in unless we give them an opening. We create an opening for them. And when we create that opening, they come in. The Bible says if you come in and bind the strong man, you can come in and violate and spoil and take his goods, take over his house. So be careful, you all. Let us stay watchful. Let us stay prayerful. And watch and pray for one another, because we all need one another. Everybody needs somebody. And if you don't need somebody, I don't know what kind of world you're living in. We all need somebody. Amen. Sister Ruby, was someone else on?
Yeah, I forgot to mention Minister Billy. She stayed on and was telling her, so she's still on the line. Minister Billy, Minister Billy? It's open. Minister Billy?
She may have it on mute, but
she did.
May not can talk.
Yeah, but she talked before when you were down. She was saying,
okay.
her ministry, so I thought I would let you know she was on there. Okay, I'll give it back to you. God bless.
Amen, amen. Well, we appreciate Minister Burns coming on. She hosts our Saturday segment. That's her segment. Her and her husband, Elder Alba Burns and Minister Billy Burns, they host the Saturday segment on this same broadcast. The phone number, the line is the same, but her time for airing is at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 a.m. Central, and 8 a.m. Eastern Time. She's in the Carolinas, so she's in North Carolina. Tune in and listen sometime if you have a powerful testimony. That's what her segment is about, testimonies. So if you have a testimony that you haven't had an opportunity to share, this is your time to come on Saturday mornings with her. So we thank God for you, Minister Burns. We're going back to our speaker, Minister Mike. God bless you, Minister Michael.
God bless again. Sister Ruby, I did hit Revelations. I think you missed me.
It was, then you done the 22:18.
I said about adding to the word and taking away, how you take your name out the book of life.
Okay, you got 66. So you went through 66 books. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're correct.
It's okay. But I thank and praise God again for this opportunity. I never take it lightly when Sister Adrian calls up on me or anybody that calls me to speak. It's a privilege. It's an honor. I'm always humbled by God because, you know, as a speaker or a preacher, whatever you call to do, whatever your gift might be, the purpose that God has driven in you is mandated. We got to be careful in how we give that word because, you know, the understanding is in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you handle the Word, you're handling life, Jesus Christ himself. And just on another note, you know, man has purpose in his heart, you know, passing all these laws, allowing gays to marry and whatnot, but it's incumbent upon the church that we be the bride that he's calling for without spot, wrinkle, blemish, any such thing, that even though these things law in the land, the Bible governs us and tells us we in the land, but we not of the land. You know, this is not our resting place. This is not our home. So he never did, you know, tried for us to make it comfortable here on earth, but we make it comfortable. God ain't never told us to be comfortable. Why? Because when you become comfortable with things that's going on here, then you will lose sight on the purpose that God has purposed in every man, and that was to make it in unto his kingdom. Now, if you're cool with the purpose that he purposed you to stay here, then by all means, you go out and do what you got to do to stay here, but this is not my home. Like Paul said, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air, and that's where we will forever be. That is the God-driven purpose in me, and he commanded us to love one another as he loved the church. Amen? So with that, I thank each and every one for taking time out to listen. And Sister Adrian, back into your hands. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we're going to ask you to close this on out with prayer. Is it anybody on the line that need prayer before Minister Mike closes us out? You can make your request known at this time.
Okay. I have to open their line. But Minister Billy is back on the line. Minister Billy?
Hello?
Yeah, she's on the line, Evangeline.
Okay,
no,
she's welcome. Amen. Does anybody have any prayer requests or anything else to say before Minister Mike closes out? You can do so now.
I have one prayer request for Minister Michael, if that's okay. This is Albertine. I haven't spoken to him. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can.
Hi, how are you, sir? I just been praying and fasting and asking God to reveal some things to me. And I have not heard anything yet. And I know we're supposed to be still and just wait, but I just wanted to ask if you could just pray. It's regarding my home. And if you could just pray for me on that, please.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I will. Yes. Any other requests?
Okay. Yes, hello? Hi.
Yes, please.
I'd like to ask for prayer for my mom, that she continue to stay strong. She's on dialysis, and I know she hasn't been feeling 100% lately, and that God continue to strengthen her. And also that I can
that God continue to bless my company and my daughters as they return back to college, and that God take care of everything as far as the tuition and also for my also where I am living as well. So I want to know if I'm praying and asking God, should I stay or should I move? So I want to know what God wants me to do. So I'm asking for prayer for that.
Your name was?
It's Cammie, K-A-M-M-I-E, Cammie Lee. Yes, sir.
And Sister Albertine was the first one. Any more prayer requests? Okay, Brother Mike, go right in.
Say, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. Dear kind and gracious Father, Lord, we come before your throne humbly, but yet boldly, O God, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, we petition you for the wrong of sin, and for commission, O God. O Heavenly Father, we asking you that according to your word that you look down on Sister Albertine, God. You know the request that she made before you, but you said we have not because we ask not. Ask and receive not to consume upon our own lust and desire. But, Father, the request that she has made before you is just for revelation, God, to reveal some things regarding her home, O God. And I do touch and agree with her right now in the spirit, God, that you manifest into her the directions in which you would have her to go. Make known this day, O God, in the name of Jesus, touch her mind, O God. Give her the strength to stop, stay still, and hear. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you anoint her ears right now, that she will hear what your spirit have to say to her. And, oh, God, we ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, to look down upon Cammie Lee, oh, God. She's asking for prayer for her mom, oh, God. You know the situation. You're a doctor that never lost a patient, God. And you said that by your stripes she were healed. We touch and agree right now with the healing stripes of Jesus Christ and with the balm of Gilead that she is healed, O Heavenly Father. We also lift up her company, O God. In the name of Jesus, you touch it, God. You blow on it. You bless it. You grow it. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray that you allow her to sow unto good ground, O God, springing up to everlasting life, that she will see residual effects that guiding and guarding her company in the name of Jesus. You said as she blessed, you would bless her, God. You said if she cast her bread upon water, it will return not many days hence. In the name of Jesus, you said if you give unto the Lord, it shall be given back unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, given into your bosom shall man give. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we even lift up her daughter right now. That was no specific directions and what to pray for her daughter. So I'm asking you in the name of Jesus that you shield her, you protect her, God, in the name of Jesus, that you reel her in, oh God, keep her in the center of your will. Establish that hedge round about her. Save her to the uttermost. God, continue to let her hear your voice and to know your name, that you alone art God, the creator, the maker, the giver of every good and perfect gift. It has come from above. And you give her a promise, God. You told Cammie that the promise of the Holy Ghost was not only unto her, but it was to her children and her children's children, and as many as are far off that you shall call. And last, God, according to a living arrangements, God, we asking you right now to make known the direction in which you want her to go. Should she stay or should she Father, this confidence we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us. And if you hear us, we know we have the petition desired of you. Now, I touch and agree with her right now, God, that you order her steps, guarding the direction to go, that you give her insight on what she needs to do in the name of Jesus. Father, we come against every whispering spirit that speaks to her right now.
Glory.
Right, we command it loose, oh, be thou removed, our cast into the depths of the sea. We plead the blood on her life. God, in the name of Jesus, you shield this, your baby, right now. Keep her in the center of your will.
We are careful and grateful to give you glory, honor, and praise. Oh, God, we ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice, God. Even those that go back into the archive, God, let them get a blessed word from you, oh, God. We speak healing to everyone that calls in, God. Even those that go back and read, we give them a rhema word. God, we pray right now that when they hear this, that their lives will be forever changed, evermore, calling upon you that you might be found in the name of Jesus. And bless Sister Adrian and Sister Ruby, oh, God. A double portion of your anointing, God. Bless their going in and their going out, their uprising and their down sitting, God. Never let their meal barrel run dry. Father, we pray for money to come from the east, the west, and the north and the south. Let it overtake them, but not out of your will, God. Keep them in your will with your blessings. You said the blessings of the Lord make it rich and it adds no sorrow. Bless all their family, every household right now. We're careful to give you the glory. We're grateful. We give you honor. We give you praise. And we ask you that the glory in our lives be in you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Brother Mike, before I dismiss, I also want you to pray for my mother and my family in New Orleans.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Once again, Father, we petition you, Lord, on behalf of Sister Adrian, God. We ask you to look down upon Miss Barbara, God, and every one of her children, God, her grandchildren, great-great-grand, God. Father, even her main sisters and brothers, those that are living, God. We ask you the whole bloodline, God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we asking you for a miracle in this family. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, you know the prayer that Adrian prays towards you night and day, God. Oh, Heavenly Father, I touch and agree with that prayer concerning her loved ones, God. You promised her that the promise was not only to her, but all of her bloodline, even unto her son, Jamal, everywhere he's at right now, God. You can even save him, deliver him, free him. You can even let the captive go free. All is in your power and according to your will. We believe you for it, God. Even if Sister Danielle can walk out today, if it be thy will, God, we hold you to it. We believe you for it. In the name of Jesus, Father, there are many deaths that have occurred in our family, God. We're asking you before the next one lights go out, before they close their eyes, God, that they become established with a relationship with you. Father, with their whole heart, with all their mind, the soul, the spirit, and with all their mind, God. Father, we ask you to cause them to hear your voice and to know your name. You alone are God, that you save the utmost. Father, we pray that you put a hedge of protection even around my friend right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Bury the truth, God. Lord, I'm asking you to save this baby before it's too late, God. Look down upon the son and the new baby, God. Father, even touch their fathers, the fathers of these children. You save them right now. Save Gary, God. Cause her to hear your voice before it's too late. Put a hand around it. And God, Angela keeps dialing my number. I don't know if it's by accident or for whatever, but God, even touch Angela right now. Angela Bernard, God, you touch right now. Save her, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for Brother Arrow, God, and for the other brothers, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You saved them. Andrew, God, Ronnie, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, in your great name, even their sons, God, their daughters, you saved them. Even Nausea, God, you saved her, her husband, her baby. Save the bloodline, every one of the singletons, God. You saved them. Sister Caridi, God, you saved her. Shabu, God, her children, save them. Even the friends that attach to them, you save them, Lord. Fill them with your precious spirit. We're careful. We're grateful. Give you glory. Once again, we give you honor, and we pray that everything we do, you get the glory. This we ask in the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We'll see you all on tomorrow for Promote Fridays with
Evangelist Bernard.
Yes.
We have a new caller. Let me, area code 517-7220. Your line is open.
That's my girlfriend, Marcia.
Oh, 517-220, Marcia.
God bless you, Marcia.
It's not answering, but I thought we would acknowledge her. So go ahead.
Oh. Uh-huh. Amen. Hello? Yes.
Oh, Sister Marcia?
That's her number. She may just not want to say anything. So God bless you. We thank God for all that we have heard today. Again, we thank God for you, Minister Mike. It was a powerful word, and it went right to the marrow of my bone, I tell you. So we'll see you all on tomorrow. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Ruby. Thank all of our listeners and our guests that called in and those that's listening live. We'll see you tomorrow for Provoked Fridays with Pastor Edward Hamilton. Amen. God bless you. We're going through with the purpose. You can take us on out.
We're going out with Nobody's Greater.
Highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went out into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
It's all over.
It's all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
nobody greater, no.
Nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody. You lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on, nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Party greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
No matter what.